Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, seriously researched, hard-hitting history podcast told through entertaining stories. Listen to History That Doesn't Suck on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We spent a lot of time this morning talking about Derek Shelton, Ben Cherington, what's happened over with the Pirates, and we will continue to do so. But we got to lighten the thing up here. And this is a segment that we try to do every Friday. We've had breaking news the last couple of Fridays and haven't been able to do it. It's called Things You Didn't Know, Things You Don't Care to Know, but they're sports related. It's actually one of my favorite segments of the week, and we're going to do it right now before we get into all the nuts and bolts of the Cherington and Shelton stuff with Jason Mackey, who's with us until 10 o'clock. I'm going to start things off because I've got audio here and I'll forget to play it if I don't play it right now. And I'm going to start out with the new Pope, gentlemen. The new Pope is from Chicago. He is apparently a Chicago White Sox fan. Here is Chris Russo, wildly popular, from Sirius XM, breaking down the new Pope like he's a draft pick.
With Rob Kegren here on the new Pope today, this is a fascinating development. He's 69 years of age, which is Pope Francis is 76. He's 69. So they went younger. They do that consciously or not consciously, just the way it worked out. How about that?
It's like you're talking about Juju Smith-Schuster. Oh, he's the youngest player in the draft. There are going to be guys drafted the next 2 years who are older than Juju Smith-Schuster. Chris Russo breaking down the new Pope. One more thing on the Pope. There's always a Pittsburgh connection. So you've got hundreds of thousands of people there watching for the white smoke, watching for the Pope to come out onto the balcony. One of those people, well, I think it might have been Austin Bechtold.
There are, of course, flags that people are waving, but there are also items that they want blessed. There are rosemaries, there are a crucifix, there are backpacks and T-shirts and tokens from their lives that are important for some reason. There was even a woman from Pittsburgh who had, if you're a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, the terrible towel, the yellow towel they wave at football games.
Nice.
Go out to Rome and get your terrible towel blessed by the new Pope? This might sound sacrilege because of the language. That's kind of badass.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it was a woman. Sorry there, Bechtold.
Rosemary's? Oh, what's a rosemary?
Yeah, I think he was looking for rosary there.
Rosary.
Yep. Yes. Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. right. Mm-hmm. There was a big pop when it was an American Pope. We finally got one.
We got one. We're in it.
Can I plead ignorance here?
Of course.
As a Reformed Catholic myself who went to Catholic grade school, I had no idea we had never had an American Pope.
I had no idea what a Pope does, so.
I still don't really have much clarity on that.
Nope.
By the way, can we just stop and appreciate for a second, and I'm going to continue this because I did it my entire time on the Pirates beat. The fact that they announced the manager firing in the middle of a new Pope. I mean, that is like, yep.
It was brilliant.
They've done it on Super Bowl Sunday. They literally made a trade on Christmas. I'm not bitter or anything about that. I had to cover Josh Bell. Nope. I don't have two little kids. I didn't want to be around for Christmas. No, but they every holiday they do something. New Pope.
There you go.
Throw it out. It was not intentional. It's like I'm not ripping the Pirates. It's just. I have plenty to rip the Pirates about otherwise. It's just ironic.
Let me be clear on this. If they did it on purpose, I respect them more than I have at any other point this year. Because we said when the George Pickens stuff was going down.
Right, that was a, yep.
That's the number one team in town. Yeah, trade a popular player, certainly a guy that everyone has opinions on. That would have been the perfect time for the news dump. But then you got everybody with their TVs on watching the new Pope walk out there. And Mike Golic Jr. tweeted, this would be the perfect time for a sports news dump. And you know what? If it wasn't the Pittsburgh Pirates, that and the Jacksonville Jags, who released Jadeveon Clowney, which I'm guessing is probably, or not Jacksonville, excuse me, Carolina. I'm guessing that's pretty unpopular there because of his superstardom with the South Carolina Gamecocks. Also, busy week for the Cardinals as they forced a Pirates managerial change and elected a new Pope all within a couple of days of each other. Doran, you want to go?
Yes. Draymond Green, he was ejected last night in their playoff game. And Draymond Green has 5 technical fouls in the postseason thus far.
This postseason?
This postseason.
5?
Draymond Green has accumulated over $900,000 in fines throughout his 12-year NBA career, according to SportTrack. Additionally, suspensions have cost Draymond Green around $3.2 million. Like you always want a guy on your team that is a badass. You do. Like, and Steph Curry probably wants a guy on his team that's a badass, but there comes a time whenever it's negatively affecting the team. And he has negatively affected his team so many times in the last couple years. It's insane. Like, he has absolutely lost his mind. Well, and now he's saying, like, I'm not an angry black man. You're acting like I'm an angry black man. Like, my man, you do this every single game or every other game. Like, it is unbelievable.
And
he keeps doing this.
He's not what he used to be in terms of his performance either. And things that you could turn a blind eye to him punching a dude in the nuts 6 years ago. You do it now, not so much. We have a breaking news story that fits right into this segment. I'm sorry to cut you off here, Mackie. We'll get
this
to yours.
This happens every week.
I know. Now it's a running bit. Why do you hate Jerry Dulac? All right. So Bill Belichick's girlfriend, Jordan Hudson, has reportedly been banned from the UNC facility.
Saw that. Yes.
Listen, there's the old expression, you don't poop where you eat. Like, working with your significant other might not always be the best thing because you need your time apart and you've got all your stressors at home and now you've got all your stressors at work. It's probably not a good thing. You know what? I'm a cynic by nature. I think this is a great thing for Bill and young Jordan. And if you tell me that they break up, I will never believe in love again. This is one of the true love stories of the 20th century.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Did Bill Banner? Did he put the band on? Don't you think he has a lot of control in that facility? Is he the one who banned her?
I'm guessing he had to ask her, is it okay if I ban you? And she said yes.
Or did like the athletic director?
I'm on it.
But you would think that the head coach would ban people from coming into the facility.
I've never understood that expression, poop where you eat. I mean, who poops at their dining room table? Who poops on their living room couch?
You ever gotten an Airbnb in New York City? Your bathroom is your kitchen.
Okay, but I mean, that's one specific incident, Adam.
I gave you one.
Yeah, all but right. I think the saying is, like, you shouldn't do that, right?
Well, you shouldn't poop in your dining room.
Right. So
if you do that,
it's not good.
It was only like 200 years ago that people in this part of the country were living in one-room cabins.
I know, but shouldn't it be you shouldn't eat where you poop?
Oh.
Isn't that more appropriate?
Yeah.
Nobody would poop where they eat. That's weird.
Nobody would eat where they poop.
I know.
Although I was munching down on some Oreos yesterday while urinating, and one little Oreo crumb fell on the back part of the toilet that's always very gross, and I still haven't cleaned it up yet, yeah.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you ate it.
That's what I thought.
No. Gee, come on. All right, Mackie, what
Crowley,
do you got
you
for
went
us?
To West Virginia. I don't know.
Good point. Good point, Mackie.
I thought it was Pitt that was the poop eaters. At least that's what we say over and over and over and over again.
Why? Because it's the one word you could spell?
And they rhyme. It's clever that way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Real quick.
Stop.
Real quick. Eat blank Pitt. Not super creative.
No.
And all I ever hear when I'm walking through a concourse with Pitt fans wearing a West Virginia hat is 13-9. Can we be more creative?
There's one thing that's real, the one thing that isn't real.
I've seen Pitt fans eat poop before.
Who?
It was Pat yesterday after the show. Mackie?
I mean, I've got something. I feel like a breaking news update. I have something for the past few weeks. So, I don't know, about 2.5 years ago, Logan Webb had his media scrum ruined by a fart. And so I started to tell a story. I got halfway there, and I was going to ask you guys, we probably can't do it, what's the most inopportune time you've ever had a fart? Like, either you or somebody experienced it.
Well, I've told this story a bunch of times when Kirk Ferentz came in to recruit me, and it was me, Kirk Ferentz, and Bob Pelko, and I'm 16 years old, and we're in his office. And Kirk Ferentz is like, Dorn, you know, we really like you. We want you to play. And he...
He did.
Lifted his leg up and, like, to cross his leg over his knee and just ripped a fart. And I, 16 years old, I look at Pelko, and he just dead face, like nothing.
Yeah.
And then I look back at Kirk Ferentz, and then he just keeps talking. And I'm sweating. I mean, I'm a kid, right? I'm a teenager.
You're trying not to laugh.
That is funny. And I'm like looking at these two like, you guys are not going to acknowledge that Kirk Ferentz just farted right now? Like, and I'm just sitting there looking back and forth like, am I allowed to laugh?
Kirk Ferentz has been farting offenses out into the Big Ten for the last 25 years.
Yeah. He's used to it, yeah.
He would have helped. You would have helped his ass out a lot. To bring it back to the religion, I guess. In my Catholic school upbringing, I ripped one in church. We would go, I think it was every Friday, at the beginning of school, to Mass at St. Bernard's. And that is the one place, you can't sneak one out on a pew. And in a place like that where it echoes, I had one that I thought was just going to sneak out. No. It was louder than the choir.
Oh, my God.
But, Mackie, I'm guessing you've set this up because you've got a great story.
I did. And
but
it's,
we've
it's
run
horrible.
Out of time.
Next week.
All right, hit it.
All right. So a couple of 2 years ago, I don't know, last January, something like that, I go to the DR for the Pirates looking at their development academy or whatever. Because it's the DR, like, we, all of us going, have to travel in a pack, right? Like, you're traveling, you know, security to and through the airport, blah, blah, blah. So you're traveling with a bunch of Pirates people. The way the Santo Domingo airport is, there's parts where you, like, go down steps, up steps, whatever. I'm the last in our traveling party, or so I thought. Sterling McClain, who is awesome and knows about this story, he's the director of story and production for the Pirates. He's one of the video guys. So I think that I'm last in line, and I'm like, man, I really don't. All right, I'm going to let it go. I don't care. Little did I know, poor Sterling was downwind, right behind me. Never lets me hear the end of it, and I deserve it, and I completely crop dusted him, and I feel horrible about
like,
it.
Right in his face, too, probably.
Yeah, it was awful, because like, the steps tall. And eye level and... Yeah. Like, I thought I was safe. You know how if you're walking, like, there's nobody behind you. You're like, we're walking away from this. I'm good. I was not good.
Oh, man.
Yeah, embarrassing.
Just a mouth-level fart is no good.
Mackie fart.
Terrible,
just right
man.
In the face.
I'm so sorry. I'm a horrible, horrible person.
Surprised you didn't do it to Dulac. The saying, don't bleep where you eat, is a vulgar idiom that means you shouldn't cause trouble or ruin things in a place where you depend on or value.
Should be where you poop.
People also explaining to me via the text line that back when you lived in one-room cabins, you would go in an outhouse. So thank you for that.
Hmm.
All right, that was fun, but the fun is over, and now we're down to brass tacks. Actually, real quick, breaking news. The Giants and wide receiver Gabe Davis have agreed to a one-year deal worth $8.5 million. So there you have that. Cross one off the list there of a potential George Pickens replacement. All right, coming up next, you can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. What does Jason Mackey make of the Derek Shelton firing? What's next for one Ben Sherrington? It's all on the way. Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. We have Pirates breaking news this morning. They have fired Radley Haddad, their game planning and strategy coach the past 3+ seasons. This, according to John Heyman, and confirmed by Kevin Gorman and by Noah Hyles. I'm just wondering why you need a manager and a game planning and strategy coach. I thought that part of the duties of a manager are to strategize and game plan. Like, what? That could be one of the things they're spending money on that they don't need to be spending money on. Not that I think that this Radley Haddad is, you know, making millions of dollars, but it seems like a redundancy to me. That you would have a game planning coach and then also a manager.
Didn't a team just fire their offensive coordinator in baseball?
That's right.
There's offensive coordinators now in baseball.
Didn't know that was a thing. Right. Maybe a fancy name for hitting coach. Clint Hurdle took over in Colorado.
Or game plan manager. Fancy name for it. Offensive coordinator.
Yeah. It seems redundant to me. You have a hitting coach. You have a pitching coach. You have a manager. You have a general manager. I thought your manager comes up with game plans, but whatever. Let's
there are
talk
too many people, Adam. There are too many voices. And that's part of it. It's a baseball trend, man.
All right, Mackie, now's your chance. Say everything that you've been thinking about this Derek Shelton firing, Ben Cherington remaining on, and we can kind of move from there.
Yep. It didn't fix the whole problem. It also isn't going to fix the microphone that I just destroyed.
Not by your hot takes, but just physically you knocked the
mic flag off the thing. Yep. All right. So I don't have any issue with them firing Derek Shelton. I mean, you have to. It's not going well. They had to make a move. I don't understand what took them so long. It should have happened before. I don't understand why we're still here with this group in place. This doesn't make any sense to me. The Pirates have had unprecedented off-field issues. The rosters with which Derek Shelton has had to work haven't been good enough. They've had issues developing players. They've had issues finding players. They've had issues basically anywhere you can possibly have issues. So once again, fire Derek Shelton. I'm not defending it. His use of the bullpen was not good enough. No players have gotten better, whatever. But there's so much griping about his lineup construction and what he's doing. What do you want him to do? What players do you want him to play? It's not like he's sitting there with an 800 OPS on his bench.
No, my biggest gripe with him in the lineups is when a guy has a good day, they have it pre-planned. He was going to take an off day.
Well, okay, so this ties back to the Radley Haddad stuff, Adam, where a lot of this stuff, they put a lot of weight on analytics and too much weight on that stuff. Like, this happened the other night in the St. Louis series. I wrote about this. When they went from Carmen Majinski to Ryan Borucki to Chase Sugar, then Derek Shelton, the way he explained it, like, it was pre-planned. This was a game script, they call it. This was not feel and a guy in the dugout overriding that. It's senseless. And I think Donnie Kelly needs to override that and say, you know what, this guy has it. I'm going to stay with Borucki. This is where we're at.
Yeah.
We're going to go a little bit longer with one of our most reliable relievers. Here's how I envision the rest of the game going. Now, if you go down with that strategy, if somebody beats you, so be it. At least the strategy's sound. But the Pirates do this a lot where they're overly adherent to analytics and there's not a proper application into actual baseball stuff.
And one of the things that should affect a pre-planned schedule is whether or not things are going to plan. And what I mean by that is you're a really bad baseball team and your season was slipping away and you're still giving Andrew McCutchen and or O'Neill Cruz and others days off, pre-planned days off.
No, okay, let me interject there. Do you find it interesting that Andrew McCutchen was being used sparingly until he basically tweeted something about the lineup and then it became a further discussion point on like why Kutch isn't playing? Now Kutch is playing most days.
Mm-hmm.
Kutch is playing a lot. O'Neill Cruz is playing every day. O'Neill Cruz was not initially used top of the lineup. Then they figured out, oh, wait, this is good. Yeah, we're going to go here. Like, it's just
so they just don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, it's sort of just a, we're going to latch onto this thing. Oh, this makes sense. Oh, wait, no, it doesn't. Let's go over here. This is what we really, really, really believe. Wait, no, we don't. We're going to go there. Like, there's a lot of indecision.
The number of times of late where Derek Shelton basically said, I don't have any answers, just kind of spinning it differently with different verbiage, dead man walking.
I mean, it'd be different. Like, you know, I understand the conversation now. It's like, all right, like things aren't working for the team and you're taking guys out, sitting guys down. Some guys should be playing and getting that consistency, getting that feel. But my man wasn't even coaching for his job and his job was on the line and he knew it. That's like he wasn't even making those moves to save himself.
Yeah, self-preservation.
Not just the team, but himself. He knew his job was on the line, and he still was going out there and doing the same thing.
Yeah, here's my Sunday lineup for our fourth consecutive loss or something like that.
But you guys are saying that. Who's he sitting? When he's playing Emmanuel Valdez at first base, what good option does he have to play on the bench? I'm not talking about Kutch.
No, you're right about that, but I'm talking about Kutch, and I'm talking about Cruz.
O'Neill Cruz, yeah.
But Cruz those guys has played down. A lot. He's played every game.
But there was times where he did
it. But he also kept him off his feet.
Whenever he hit three home runs in a row, he took him down.
And Henry Davis will hit a home run.
Yeah, that was earlier, but yes.
Henry Davis will hit a home run and then not see the lineup for a little while.
Oh, I completely agree with that. The taking guys out after they achieve something because it's pre-planned. I'm not disagreeing with that one bit. I'm just saying there are some instances where he puts out a Sunday lineup and everybody's like, this lineup stinks. Like, there's a whole bunch of better stuff on the bench.
There's not.
I'll be clear on this. And I haven't exactly said it this way. If they had to fire just one guy and could only fire one guy, I'd have fired Ben Cherington first.
Yep, same.
Because I think I don't think Shelton's good at his job. I think Cherington is abhorrent at his. And there is zero evidence for his time in Pittsburgh that would speak to the contrary.
Here's a random one I learned this morning.
Please.
Miguel Andujar is hitting 320 this season with Oakland.
Huh.
Remember Miguel Andujar?
Yeah,
sure do. He was good with the Yankees for a year and then wasn't good anymore.
And then he was really good here, and they didn't want to give him an opportunity because he was bad for like 10 days, and they had their mind made up.
Well, you got to get Tommy Pham in there. Do you think that's a Shelton decision? Or do you think he's being told, hey, we spent this money on...
I think that's kind of a baseball thing. Like, they're kind of... I mean, it was a bad player acquisition at this point. That's what I would say.
And at the point they made
it.
What's that?
At the point they made it.
And at the point they made it, yeah.
Yeah, but when you sign a guy like that and you pay him some money, like, you're almost beholden to the system where you have to play the guy.
Yeah.
People want him to DFA that. Like, people want the Pirates to DFA Tommy Pham. That's not realistic because the rest of baseball is going to look at, oh, what, you sign a veteran contract with the Pirates for $4 million and they're going to DFA you after 30 games. Don't sign there.
Well, then don't sign the guy that you can't DFA. Like, it has become worse. I'm not disagreeing with
you. You can criticize their acquisitions all you want. I'm not disagreeing.
It has become it is worse with Tommy Pham than it was with Rowdy Tellez.
Is it?
His numbers are worse.
Okay.
Which is unthinkable.
Yeah.
And he also was telling fans to, you know, wax their bananas. And we got it.
Not Pirates fans, though.
No, they were Angels fans.
Maybe they should have.
Oh, those people were jackasses. You just can't do it. And then, you know, with Rowdy, you had the whole, we don't do that here. Well, how do you know? You ain't been here. What are you talking about? Which I actually didn't have a problem with at the time, and I'm getting off the point here. It's an organization from the top down that has failed at every level. And Derek Shelton, to me, was third in the list of their biggest problems. But that's not a defense of Derek Shelton. He deserved to go. When you're 12-26 in year six, when you have one of the worst winning percentages in all of Major League Baseball, you deserve to go. More on this with Mackey coming up next, including whether or not he actually lost the clubhouse. Because Ben Cherington wouldn't go so far as to say that yesterday. I'm wondering what Mr. Mackey has heard. Text us brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Breaking personal news, I know who the random person was that mowed my lawn.
Really?
Yes. My neighbor's brother. And when he was mowing her lawn, he accidentally went a little too far into my lawn and then figured, well, you know what? I mowed like a quarter of his front lawn. I'm just going to do the rest.
Oh, okay.
That's how that went down.
Are you going to pay him?
No, I only pay for services that I request. That sounds like hookers, doesn't it?
Yep.
That sounds a little sketchy.
That's not how I meant that to sound.
Yep.
I need to hire the person, and then I'll pay them. You can't just...
That's
still bad.
Nope. Yep. I don't think you got out of it. Yep. Keep going.
Yeah.
Grab another club.
Yep. Strike two.
When someone's going to perform services, I then throw the money down on my bedside table when it's done.
Yeah, All right. You're done.
You're out.
Move on.
Social media's biggest loser brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Visit them at awaken180weightloss.com. That is big personal news, though. I was wondering who the hell mowed my front yard.
Yep.
And I wasn't going to confront that person at the time because I think you got to be somewhat psychotic to just be mowing random people's lawns. And so I didn't want to walk myself into a potentially dangerous situation like I just did at the beginning of this radio segment. All right, so Don Kelly takes over as the Pirates skipper. He is the permanent manager for 2025.
Hit her. Excuse me.
Yes, that's a very bizarre semantical turn that they decided to use there, right? I mean, he's not the interim manager.
That's crazy. He's the interim manager.
But no, he is the permanent manager for 2025 per Ben Cherington.
They're trying to think that everybody's stupid. I didn't like that. Don't insult your fans' intelligence.
I'll tell you
the
other thing
I hated. They know what an interim manager is.
You know what else really ticked me off? And I'm a Pirates fan, and so I assume it ticked off a lot of other Pirates fans, is that Ben Cherington was the first person quoted in the press release.
Why?
Because he should be gone, too.
Okay.
Well, someone else should be writing his quotes on...
I mean, but he wasn't, so he's his boss. He's going to fire him. You can disagree with Ben should be fired. It's a perfectly reasonable take.
No one wanted to hear from Ben Cherington.
But that's his job to do that.
Yeah.
It's his job to win baseball games.
True.
So, is Don Kelly going to get to set the lineups?
I sure hope so.
Or is it going to come down from on high?
I think Derek Shelton had a decent amount of say in setting the lineups. Was it like carte blanche? No. But I think Don Kelly will have... And I do think, Adam, this is an interesting thing to pick at. I do think that Don Kelly is probably going to have more stroke with that stuff than Derek Shelton did. Like, I hope they realize the error of their ways, and this is probably part of it with Radley Haddad being out the door, where you need to let the manager be the manager. You need to let the manager be a little old school, have some feel, understand his team, play the team the way he wants to be, wants to play it. And I don't think they did a great job of that with Derek.
People are saying I should offer this man beer, and I think I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Since if they're of age. Like, I mean,
yeah, there's a personal connection. He might not be of age. That's a good point by you.
Younger guy?
Yeah. I get him some NA beer. Get him some soda pop.
NA beer.
Maybe a Mr. Pibb. Yeah. Case of Mr. Pibb.
Root beer.
Could get him root beer.
Yeah.
Cream of soda.
Yes.
Could get him that. All right. Well, I want Don Kelly to have full say of what happens with the club on a day-to-day basis. Like, if he is the interim manager or the permanent manager for 2025, what have you, this is an audition for him.
Mm-hmm.
And I want them to give him free reign. What they were doing before wasn't working. And it may well not work. They're not going to win a ton of games this year. They're not going to finish above 500 in all likelihood. And they're certainly not going to make the playoffs. So why not put all the decision-making power on a day-to-day basis in his hands?
How can you say that whenever you say that you want them to go into a different direction at the start of next season? And Don Kelly shouldn't go with this regime for next year.
It's an audition not just for the Pirates, but for elsewhere too.
I think Don Kelly has some independence from this regime, though. I do. I think he is thought of highly enough around Major League Baseball and within this organization. Like, guys, I could honestly see a scenario. If Don Kelly wins where he stays and in other parts of the regime go, it's probably a tough needle to thread.
How would you feel about that?
I mean, I think I'd be fine with it.
How would you feel about that, Crowley?
I've heard nothing but wonderful things about Don Kelly, the man. And he is, as Jason says, thought of very highly. But I want all the stench of this gone.
I know. Where that breaks down for me and kind of where I hesitated is if this goes well, this is probably going to cloud their thinking and into, like, everything's okay. So maybe that scenario doesn't even... But, like, I do feel bad for Don Kelly. He's a great guy. He's universally respected in that clubhouse. He's universally respected throughout Major League Baseball. Everybody wants to see him succeed. They also acknowledge this is a really rotten, difficult situation. In some ways, for Don Kelly, it's like you're playing with house money, right? Like, you get this opportunity. Yeah. He really can't do anything wrong. He's going to be good either way. But, you know, you want Donnie to have a good opportunity. Like, he's never been anything but unfailingly nice to literally everybody. The guy's fantastic.
Yeah, and here's something that he can look forward to, and I'm not going to give these players too much credit because none of them are saviors, but he's going to benefit from Bubba Chandler coming up and Spencer Horowitz coming into the lineup, and hopefully he can figure it out because he struggled down below. And Nick Gonzalez coming back, and maybe Jared Jones at some point. And all of that should organically give whomever the manager is a boost, and it will look better for him. They're playing at below 400 winning percentage right now, and I'm guessing that that's not going to keep up when they get healthy. This is a really bad team right now, and I am not saying this is a good roster, but none of us predicted that they would be this bad. I mean, we didn't think they'd have a winning record. None of us thought they'd be this damn bad. And so I think that water finds a level a little bit, and they're going to outperform the results that they've previously put on the field, and that will make Don Kelly look better by extension.
And we talked off the air about Ben Charrington's comment, if you can squint and see a better team in 2025. Like, I didn't like the verbiage, and I understand why people got upset about that, but I do agree with some of what he's saying. I would just say it differently.
Yes, he said it bad.
We can be a better team than this. There's a better team in here than we've shown.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fair statement. Like, and that's what you're saying, Adam. Like,
doesn't mean they're good, but
no,
they are
but they better. Can be better.
Yeah.
And Don Kelly is possibly going to be the recipient of that sort of bounce back. And I do think guys are going to feel a responsibility. Like, look, we can't hang Donnie out to dry here. Like, we got to figure this out. This is Donnie's one and only chance, or it might be his only chance. Like, we have to own up to our end of the bargain because we just like the dude.
Well, and that dovetails to the question I wanted to ask that I forgot about because it's me and that's how I operate. Did they not want to play hard at the end for Derek Shelton? Whether it was a conscious decision or not, it seemed like, I mean, so many guys. Key Brian Hayes, the most recent example, not covering third and then getting picked off of second base. It just seems like it was mental lapse after mental lapse, lack of hustle, lack of brainiac plays. Over and over and over again, which generally points to a team not playing hard for their manager.
Yeah, I mean, I think it, let me say it this way. It's not intentional. Like, they didn't, they're not playing to get Derek Shelton fired. It's not like a bunch of people in that clubhouse, you know, brazenly, openly hate Derek Shelton that they think he's the worst guy in the world. Now, did it run its course? Did he lose the team? Yes, I believe that. And I believe that they got so beaten down that nobody had any answers. And Derek Shelton wasn't capable of summoning what he needed to. I don't think the guys felt enough of an ownership. This probably goes into a greater issue of creating an area of accountability for yourself, for your teammate, for your manager, for the group as a whole. And Don Kelly needs to create a different environment there. Can he? I don't know. And I mean, it should keep you up at night. It should kill you that, you know, you're doing this to this guy, or you're letting down your teammate, or this is what we're... And they weren't able to capture that. And I think some of it had to do with being beaten down over time by the losses. I think some of it has to do with the constant churn that we see, that guys do not have as much buy-in because they're not here year after year. You know, the lack of spending creates that, and you're having guys that are more worried about resuscitating their careers and getting the heck out of here versus taking some ownership in that clubhouse. I mean, there are a bunch of problems. So I'm just trying
to name a few.
Yeah.
What about his laid-back mentality?
Yeah, I don't think that helped either, Dorn.
And in knowing that if you do something wrong, you're not going to be punished.
Oh, gosh, yeah. That was a huge Shelton.
I mean, like, it's like, all right, I can get away with anything. It's
right.
Like your kid. Like, if you let them get away with exactly. The one thing, they think they can get away with it all the time. Then what?
I don't understand why coaches in sports, this is a comment bigger than the Pirates, like, let guys get away with that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if
once
you're
you,
certain,
one, it only takes one time for that to happen.
No, if you have
done.
Status, you know, yeah, okay. I'm going to treat him a little bit differently because that's the way life works.
Yep.
But if you're not producing, dude, you better run that ball out.
Yeah.
Why are you jogging? You're out of the game. See you later. It can happen to you too, unless you've got a 600 or, you know, a 6 WAR or an 800 OPS or something gaudy. You can run the ball out.
They're so worried about getting guys, quote unquote, off their feet. If they would just bench a guy every time he loafed it this year or made a mental error, they'd be getting guys off their feet all the time. You could kill two birds with one stone. You could send a message and get the guys off their feet.
Here's an idea. How about we just play some old school baseball and run a lineup out there and keep it? Let some guys get comfortable.
Jason, how many times have they hit behind a runner this year?
Yeah.
Have they thoughtfully taken the next base? Like, all the little things. Laid down a bunt. They don't do anything well.
They're not good situationally.
Nope.
They're not good.
Understatement. Nope. All right. One more segment with Mackie. We haven't asked about Pickens yet, so we will. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. A lot of people have texted in at various points during today's show that Don Kelly is Neil Walker's brother-in-law. Did you guys know this?
Yes.
Yes.
I know. Everybody knows that. I just love when people break obvious news to you as if they're the first person in the world to find out about it. Yes, we do know that.
Mm-hmm.
Don and, or I should say, Neil thinks very highly of Don.
Yes.
Which is a tough thing to wrap your head around, I think.
Why?
I mean, I just think about my brother-in-law and, you know.
But they're different. They both played in the show. They're good people.
I think you know what I was alluding to, though. It's tough. Someone's dating your sister. Married to your sister.
I don't have a sister.
I don't either. Late. I don't have a brother either.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Are you an only child, Mackie?
I am.
Me too.
Yeah. Yes.
Look at that.
My wife's an only child.
Look at that.
Did we
only
just become best friends?
Unite.
Nice. Just us.
Hmm.
So I don't know if somebody wanted to date my sister. You know about that, though.
I don't like where this went, and it's all my fault. Your thoughts on George Pickens getting traded? We've run out of time, Jason.
Okay, breaking news.
We'll talk to you next week. Thank you for coming on. This was fun.
Of course.
Probably could have got more into Pickens today, but the baseball thing was fresh. So
yeah,
there
right.
you go.
We won't get to it next week.
We'll talk about something else next week. Perhaps Aaron Rodgers becoming a Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback. That'd be nice. Rookie camp starting today for the Steelers. Mackey's got a nice feature coming out. I won't give out any more information than that, but I'm really looking forward to reading it, and you should check it out, too, in the Post-Gazette.